Good morning and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, partner in charge of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about us by visiting on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Bill Campbell, Assistant Secretary for Management and Chief Financial Officer of the Department of Veterans Affairs. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, gents.
And joining us in our conversation is Steve Watson. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Bill. Thanks for joining us.
Well, Bill, let's start by finding out more about the Department of Veterans Affairs. Could you tell us its purpose and its mission?
Well, the mission is one of the most succinct I've ever seen. It comes from President Lincoln's second inaugural address. And the quote is, and it's on the outside of our building and on practically every document that we print for publication, to care for him who shall have borne the battle and for his widow and his orphan. The purpose, quite frankly, for VA is to provide outstanding benefits and services to our nation's veterans.
How do we do that? What are the programs of the department?
Well, we basically have nine programs, not necessarily in order of size, but medical care and medical research, compensation, pension, education, vocational rehabilitation, housing, and insurance and burial.
As I understand, the department is the second largest in the federal government. Could you give us a sense of how you think about the size, employees, budget?
Well, the size of the agency is somewhat deceptive. We have 225,000 full-time equivalent employees, and our budget right now is about $60 billion a year. But you have to put it in somewhat of a broader context. For instance, we have 162 hospitals or medical centers. We have 137 nursing homes, 43 domiciliaries, 850-plus community outpatient clinics and facilities, 57 regional benefit centers, and 120 cemeteries. We are a very complex business, as you can tell by our business lines, and we are located all over the United States and in a couple of overseas locations.
How about the skills of the employees? I began when you first started going through the hospitals, and I thought lots of health care, but then you began to move into different lines, businesses, as you say.
We have just about every type of employee that you could think of, from medical researchers who are doing work in Alzheimer's disease, diabetes, spinal cord injury. We have the people that provide the direct care, medical care, doctors, nurses. Our largest number of employees is actually nurses, people that do housekeeping, accountants, contracting officers. We use just about every single type of employee that you could use in the federal government, civil engineers, mechanical, electrical engineers. We are indeed a very complex business.
Bill, what are your roles and responsibilities as the Assistant Secretary for Management and Chief Financial Officer?
Well, I have several. As well as being the Chief Financial Officer, I'm also the Senior Procurement Executive. And my organization basically has several key roles. One is to formulate the budget. As I said, we have a $60-plus billion budget that goes over nine missions. Once the budget is formulated, I'm responsible for the actual spending of the money, and therefore I'm in charge of financial management and accounting. And then I'm responsible for all of the assets of the corporation or the agency. So I have a treasury role. Then I'm responsible for contracting as the senior procurement executive to make sure that all laws and regulations are properly applied and that we buy goods and services at the best price. And then I'm also in charge of logistics. I'm the chief logistician. It's a business, and I have it from the very beginning of the business cycle to the very end. So getting the money to buy something, contracting to buying it, receiving it, using the people that use it don't work for me necessarily, but then the disposal of it in the end. So I run the business.
Can you tell us a little bit about your organization that you managed to accomplish those functions?
Well, I have staff here in Washington, and I have business centers in different parts of the country. For instance, in Austin, Texas, I have a financial services center. I have a debt management center in St. Paul, Minnesota. I have a distribution center for prosthetics and hearing aids in Denver. I have a national acquisition center in Chicago, the suburbs of Chicago. So I have about 1,000 people at work directly for me. And then I promulgate policies and exercise oversight to about another 8,000 people that do those functions, but do them for one of the administrations like Veterans Health Administration, Veterans Benefits Administration, or the National Cemetery Administration. So I have several roles. I run my own businesses, and I promulgate policies and exercise oversight over people that do those kinds of functions that don't work directly for me.
Do the administrations at VA have similar functions?
Yes, and the three large administrations have a chief financial officer so that the policies and guidance that comes down from my organization goes into theirs, and then they have somebody there that will make sure that all of the policies are complied with.
Bill, can you tell us a little bit about your career prior to joining VA?
Well, it's been strange. In the federal government, I started off as an engineer, and then I fell in with bad company about 12 years ago and first became a contracting person, and then became a chief financial officer with the Coast Guard. I was actually drafted. I was conscripted. I didn't volunteer for the job, but I was told that I had the skills that they wanted, and I had enough time left before I could retire that I'd have to do it, or else they would be able to reach me. So I spent 7 years working very hard as the CFO at the Coast Guard, and we finally got a clean audit opinion for fiscal year 99. The Coast Guard is the first and only military service ever to get a clean audit opinion.
And then you moved from there to VA?
Yes. About the time that, I'd been working for 7 years to become an overnight success at the Coast Guard, and I was interested in doing additional work. The Coast Guard was very happy with the clean audit opinion and was quite content to continue on the way they were. I thought that I'd like to do some more things, particularly in bringing in information technology into the accounting arena and logistics. I was approached by the then Assistant Secretary for Management and Chief Financial Officer for VA, Ned Powell, and he asked if I'd like to come over as his deputy CFO. And so I came over in the fall of 2000 as the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Finance and the Deputy CFO.
Bill, how did you move from deputy to CFO at VA?
I'm not really sure. I was asked if I would like to be considered for the job. I said yes. I was interviewed by the Deputy Secretary and the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Mr. Principi. The next thing I knew, I was being vetted at the White House. And then after an eight-month process to be fully vetted and nominated and then confirmed, I was confirmed last November 29th.
Bill, how has your prior experience at Coast Guard and even prior to that prepared you for your job at VA?
I think having such a broad background, being an engineer and a logistician and a contracting specialist and a financial manager, because of the complexity and the size of the business at VA, I didn't know it at the time, but it was the right kind of training so that I can sit down and talk to the civil engineers over construction projects, and I can talk to people that need to buy goods and services and can understand what they're going through, trying to get their statements of work prepared and get their contracting actions on the street and finalized. I never would have thought that way, but it really did work. And when you look back at the original concept of the senior executive service in the government, it was to have broadly experienced generalists managing the government and not necessarily subject matter experts. And in my case, I think it's worked out pretty well.
You spent a lot of time at the Coast Guard, and they have their way of doing things, their culture. Now you're at VA, and they have their own culture. How would you compare the two in terms of, say, the management styles?
Absolutely, completely different. And I've been with the Navy, I've been with the Coast Guard three different times for a total of 18 years. I was with the National Transportation Safety Board for 3 years, and I was with the Department of the Navy for 6 years, and now VA almost 3 years. Every government agency is completely different. They all have their own cultures. And one of the things that you have to do upon coming aboard is learn how the culture works if you're going to be effective. If you have a particular mindset that it only works one way, the way you grew up with and the way that you're that you are familiar with, I don't think you're going to be very successful. You cannot force change in a culture that you don't understand. And you have a difficulty forcing change anyway. And so the more you can learn about the new culture, the more you can learn about the key decision makers who are involved, the better off you're going to be.
That's an interesting point about the forcing change. What are the challenges of running a business when both the cost of care and the number of people requiring care are increasing each year? We'll ask Bill Campbell of Veterans Affairs for his insights when the Business of Government Hour continues.